Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're listening to Sabah al Muslim. It is back on with you. Suppose the rain subsided, LOV is gone, so might as well just have one more day in the month of January for Sabah al Muslim. Alhamdulillah. Trust you're doing well with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fajr is still early in many parts of the world. You know, there is this concept, right? And I know not everybody's a morning person, but there is this concept that you should get an early start on the day. Habits of people can change. Yes, there may be certain folk that, do the night shift and you only come back from work at 9, 10 p.m. You need that post-ishraq snooze and a small rest in order for you to get your energy. But other than that, if you're not in that category, right, it's an important lifestyle choice that people should make, especially us as Muslims, is that we should value the bukur, the early part of the morning, that early part of the morning, for ibadah, that's before Fajr and heading into Fajr, and then in the early part of the day to begin our trade and business, etc., is an important heritage and cultural trait that would be observed in many, many people, many generations of Muslims. It's unfortunate that these days, that even if you go to Muslim majority countries, and I cite an example like Karachi for that matter, right? That you looking for something as simple as lace, or you looking for something as simple as attar, some sort of perfume. So you go to the downtown area, what they call Bunce Road, is actually Barnes Road, but pronounced in the Sindhi language as Bunce. But anyway, you go to that particular area or any of the shopping malls, you'll be lucky that before 12, you'll find anybody open. Even the breakfast guys. Even the breakfast guys, where everywhere else in the world, it's assumed that you would have an early breakfast these days. Apparently, it was different back in the day. But these days, that you would be hard-pressed to find anybody open before 12. And I remember going there, this was not last year, the year before, and looking for something as simple, that thinking that at least the kitab guys, the attar guys, they will now be open, right? Not even them. They too said, you know what, come back after 1:30. They were there, sitting in their shops. Many of them don't move, from their shops, and they spend maybe 2 or 3 days there and work on some rotational basis. They go back home, every couple of days, and they're replaced by another the shift. So they're there, they're relaxing, they're sleeping, in the amidst the entire stock. But you will be hard-pressed to find anybody willing to serve you. Why? Because it has become such an ingrained culture that we start late. And they'll cite you all types of reasons. No, it's the heat, this, that, whatnot. In reality, it is an unfortunate trend that is visible everywhere. Even these days in Cairo or in the Gulf, etc., starting late. Change this entire habit. If one can't do it, obviously from a national perspective, it may be a bit far-fetched if you demand that an entire city or country change. But you yourself as an individual, right? What does the deen teach us? What does our faith teach us? That you start, you have a good jump start on the day, and that's how you begin. Well, talking about, starting off the day, many people concerned about starting off the year, especially those who are into rental properties, right? I mean, it is no secret that come the year of the pandemic, the last 12 months have been especially difficult for those in the rental industry, and probably on top of those industries that have been hardest hit would be, the business rental industry, with many businesses, especially the small businesses, the SMEs, wanting to shutter up or wanting to move to a more affordable location, like their garage or back home, for that matter. Collecting rent has been a major stress factor in the last few months. It always has been, right? There's always been this factor about the tenant, the rent, are they going to pay me? Because after all, I mean, it's not just the rent that a person lives off as per a luxury. You need to pay, expenses on that property itself. It needs to be maintained. There is a payment that you're going to have to fulfill to your provider, every month, etc., etc. Let's discuss this morning, right? And I've got online with me Shanaz Trethaway, CEO of Rent Master. Good morning.
Morning. Salaam alaikum.
Waalaikumsalam. Thank you for joining us, Shanaz, CEO of Rentmaster. Rentmaster, I'm assuming anything in the rental industry these days. How are you sleeping, Shanaz?
It's been tough, but we're specialists in the rental market. So it's been tough, but we've navigated it successfully, and we're very blessed to be there.
Shanaz, you have seen, you know, from experience how quickly the rental process can turn from, you know, a charm that you've now got your rental property in addition to your own accommodation. You feel somehow empowered, maybe even a little secure that, you know, I'm a landlord. I've always dreamed of being here. It seems to have some status. But you understand very well, and you've seen it very often, right, that it can go very quickly from becoming a charm in life to something which is, well, an ordeal. Talk to us. I mean, what would a property owner need to avoid?
So if we have a look at what we're specialists in, and I'm just going to give you some of that background. So simply, Rentmaster pays landlords their rent on the first of the month. This is when it's due and payable. And in the background, Rentmaster as a company, we use our debit order system and platform to collect the rent from the tenant. So if the rental is unpaid, when we start collecting rental, we start collecting rental through a debt collection process. So we cash flow the landlord, and what we do is we recover the funds. And from a landlord perspective, to your point, that is a stress-free solution for the landlord, and of course an affordable one. Us, on the other hand, what we are doing is we are accepting that risk. And what we need to do is we need to understand that we have to be active in understanding what are the rental payment behaviors, how are people changing their risk profile because they're losing income, and adjusting all of those expectations on what we're going to be charging rent and how we're going to be collecting it.
You know, Shanaz, I was just going to ask you about that, right? I mean, if a person is a property owner now, you would want to try and determine the affordability index of this particular, well, would-be client. You would now want to try and identify whether they can actually pay you. Now, in these current, you know, economic climate situation of COVID-19, et cetera, how would you go about doing it?
So the rental market, as you introduced, was hard hit. It's no secret. It was very difficult. So we have to understand what has happened in 2020. But to your direct point about affordability, it's all about vetting. And as I was saying, it's not as easy as just picking up a credit report and bank statements, matching it and saying, oh, I think it's okay. What we do is we understand people, they hope for the best, they plan for the worst. What we need to understand is what is the quality of income. So we take credit checks, we take source documents such as bank statements, and we scrutinize it. We see what the spending trends are. We see whether it's consistent with the representations that are made on application forms. We understand if someone represents they're self-employed, is it okay to have 2 months of bank statements or rather a year? So we can see the quality of the income, the average income, because the lease is over a year. So we need to understand what is being represented, whether it matches to the respective period and what the person is representing.
You know, Shanaz, an airtight lease, right? I mean, many people, when they go into an agreement, they probably, you know, print a lease off the internet. They find, you know, certain search engines that show you a standard lease between, you know, landlord and tenant. Print it off and then, you know, you sign that lease and you feel that you're good to go, you know, at least for the first year or so, until issues and concerns come up, especially when it comes to maintenance, when it comes to, well, we hope not, but eventually evictions do happen. How do you prepare and go about an airtight lease?
So that's a very interesting question, because you touched on 2 points. Not only is documenting your arrangement so important and having a good standard lease document, but also what we're talking about is what do you do when things go wrong over a 12-month period? Now, the days of things just being signed and 12 months happen, those days are gone. Lease management is an active one, right? Mm. But when we talk about airtight leases, we we said that we start with good intention, but when things don't go right, like with COVID, at the end of the day, we need to know the rights and obligations of the landlord and the tenant so that the outcome is fair and each party is protected. At Rentmaster, what we use is the TPN lease pack, and that is a very affordable lease. It is the industry standard. It is recognized by magistrates as it's been drafted by the leading eviction attorneys here in South Africa, SSLR. So from that perspective, we provide these to our landlords, and we know exactly how to navigate difficult times.
You know, Shanaz, when it comes to an attitude that a would-be landlord has towards property, right? I mean, you see your rental property. Should you see it as an additional income, or should you see it as, an ability to hold wealth and build up my portfolio? I know there's two different ways of looking at it, right? But many first-time landlords look at this rental property and say, you know what, I'm going to make money here through the medium of my rent. Whereas what would be more practical is that you're holding wealth in the form of your property and the rent is there, but it should not be viewed as a substitute to my current income. What is the attitude that a first-time landlord goes into looking at their first property that they've put out on rent?
So what we've been experiencing, and also with the prime rate going down, there's a lot of first-time owners. And they're doing exactly that. They, in the current market, we have to be very wary about maximizing what we ourselves can afford when we're doing investments. Wealth creation, as you stated, is over a period of time, and you get ups and downs in that. And it's about actively monitoring how you've got returns on that property. But if you've got a bond, for instance, that's 6,000 Rand plus certain costs on top of it, and you're expecting a rent of, for instance, 7,000, you've maximized your obligation, and what you're doing as a landlord is potentially compromising yourself. If your tenant hits hard times, such as with COVID, and can't afford, if they can't pay it, you have a dependence on that. So one needs to understand, what is it that you're expecting as a return? How have you created your own buffer? Do you know hidden costs so you can add it and start collecting and saving up for those for the end of the lease, as you said, on maintenance? And make sure that you're budgeting and managing it over a longer period than just on expecting a month-to-month payment in your bank account. Although one does need, even if you have a longer investment, you do expect a tenant to pay on a month-to-month basis.
Finally, Shanaz, I mean, having a passive income, now the word passive in its own right somehow denotes that you take a passive role as well, that you sit back and you, allow that money to accumulate via rent, etc. But this term, you know, passive income, does it mean that you should actually be passive, allow somebody else to manage your property, or can you do it yourself, or should there be this, you know, partial interest with a managing company? What's the best practice way of approaching your rental property?
So this is exactly a very, very interesting conversation I have with many people. A passive income is giving people the idea that they sign a lease at the beginning and then they just let it be and it runs itself. That is really, really not the case. And what we're finding is that landlords are being compromised, because then if people don't pay, if tenants don't pay, they are compromised. Renting and wealth creation in any industry and in your property industry, when you're accruing wealth through property ownership, is an active job. You need to understand what exactly you are collecting on. And it's about, on a month-to-month basis, understanding in today's day and time how your tenant risk profile is changing. And it means monitoring their payments. You get credit reports that show you if they've got a judgment on other payments, indicating that in future they may prioritize or not pay rent. How is that changing? How are you negotiating when their ability to afford has changed? How are you documenting it? All of these things require active involvement. Data shows that if you respond quickly to non-conforming tenants to their lease agreements, you have a better outcome. And many people have their full-time jobs, and they want the property ownership to create wealth. So it's Rentmaster that plays that partnership role. It's not a property management. We're their financial partner in collecting rent and taking action when they don't get that return. So that's the value that these growing relationships and it's becoming more relevant in property owners' life.
Shehnaz Strathwaite, shukran, jazakumullah khairan. Thank you so much for joining us on Radio Islam International this early morning, giving us some good advice about rental property, holding it and managing it. And once again, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. And we look forward to hearing some of your subscribers contact us and assist us. Thank you for having me.